Welcome to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. My co-host, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northern Baptist Bible College, is not able to be with us on the broadcast today, but we do have an opportunity in his place to visit with two exciting guest hosts, and I'd like to introduce those to you who are listening today on the broadcast. We have Brother Steve Weiss with us, and Steve, you, I think, are heading out to plant a church in Las Vegas, is that right?
That is correct.
And let's see, you're married to Tammy.
That's right.
How many years have you been married?
It's going to be 5 years in November.
And how many children do you have?
We have two small boys.
How old?
Curtis is 2.5 years old, and Camden is just a little over 1 year old.
So you're taking your wife and two little kids all the way out to Las Vegas to plant a church.
That's right. That's right.
What would possess you to do that?
Well, it's definitely not because something I just woke up one morning and said I would love to move to Las Vegas, Nevada. It started over a period of years when the Lord really began to burn my heart about the southwest of the United States.
Now, did you grow up out there?
I didn't grow up out there. I actually grew up in western Pennsylvania, not too far from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then the Lord moved my family down to South Carolina. But then there was a period of time when I had the opportunity to live out in Utah. And during that period in Utah, that's whenever the Lord began to burn my heart, specifically about the southwest. But then I only lived a couple hours from Las Vegas, so I had firsthand knowledge and experience with that city.
Well, Steve, we're excited to learn more about you and the ministry God's called you to do. But the other guest host that we want to introduce to you today is a former pastor at Brookside Baptist Church. In fact, Bill, you were the first pastor at Brookside Baptist Church, is that right?
Yes, the first full-time pastor.
This is Bill Jones, and Bill and his wife Jill and their children minister in New York City, largest city in America.
Yes, largest city in America, fourth largest city in the world, and probably one of the most ethnically diverse of all the major cities.
Hmm. Now, you've been there for how many years?
3.5 years. And they have gone by very quickly. It seems as though we got there day before yesterday.
Now, what exactly is your ministry in New York?
We have a mission on the east side of Manhattan. It's called the New York Mission to the Jews. It's a gospel outreach mission. And a lot of our ministry is evangelistic, getting out into the open air, street corners, parks, preaching the message of the gift of righteousness and Messiah.
And you actually own a piece of property there that came to you in a very unusual way.
Yes, well, we're still making payments on it, but we have a five-story...
So you're in the process of owning
it. Yes, we're in the process of owning
it. It still owns you.
It still owns us. But it's a five-story building in the Alphabet City area of Manhattan, a very strategic location. Located on one of the avenues in Manhattan, right across the street from a very beautiful park. God has graciously kept that building at that location. It's been there since the 40s.
Wow. Yes. It's called the Angel House?
It's the Angel Memorial House. It was named in honor of Dr. Bernard Angel, who was the founder of the New York Mission to the Jews in 1895. It is the oldest outreach mission in all of Manhattan.
Mm. Now, how did you become the pastor at Brookside? How did all that? That was like way back. Was that 18 years now?
Yeah. It's been a while back, Sam. Well, my dear friend Joe Helm, he and I traveled together on a summer program called Neighborhood Bible Time. And it's on that program that we got to know each other and had a wonderful ministry of preaching and reaching young people and children with the gospel. And Joe was burdened of God to start a church here in the Brookfield area. And while I was in graduate school, he called me up one day and said, Bill, would you consider coming and helping me in this church plant? And my initial response was, no, Joe, I'm still in the middle of my education. I just can't come. But the Lord just kept working in our hearts, and the people were very gracious to us, and the Lord just impressed on us that he wanted us up here in Milwaukee. So we came, left our education, and made a journey north.
Well, we're thankful that you did, and here all these years later, it's a privilege to have you back. You both are here for our missions conference at Brookside, and boy, it's been exciting to hear you talk about the different aspects of the work God has called you to do. Both of you minister in cities that are incredibly large and needy. Why the cities?
Well, I think that's pretty simple, especially if you look at Scripture. Christ was very much an example of this. He very much targeted the cities. That was a place where he found the best opportunity to be able to minister the word. And I think, you know, especially in our day, people are moving to the city. I think you just said in a recent message about the fact that, what was it, 9 cities, half the population of the world?
Yeah, half the population of America, where there are 300 million Americans by the – and this was in 2005, by the way. Mm-hmm. In the 2005 census, there were 300 million Americans, and 150 million of them lived in nine cities.
And nearly 10%.
And New York was the first of those.
Yes, and nearly 10% of the population of America lives in the greater metro area of New York. You know, New York, I think not only the sheer number of people that are there, but it is a city very strategic for the gospel. You know, I've often thought that if Paul were alive today, he would want to make his way to a city like New York because you're able to touch the world. In some of these major cities that are trade centers, economic centers, ethnic centers, you have a tremendous opportunity to touch the globe.
Well, Las Vegas is also one of the fastest growing cities in America right now. It's competing a lot with Phoenix, Arizona. I think Phoenix right now is slightly edging Las Vegas as far as the fastest growing city. Las Vegas has doubled in just the last 15 years. 15 years ago, it was about 1 million people. When we refer to Las Vegas, a lot of times we're referring to the valley. We call it the Las Vegas Valley, which really encompasses three cities, Las Vegas, North Las Vegas, and Henderson. Mm. And we call it Las Vegas Valley. And that valley has doubled from 1 million to 2 million people in just the last 15 years.
You know, it's interesting. I looked when I was doing some research for this, I looked at the nine cities that are on the list. And this is, again, in 2005. And of those nine cities, three of them were in Texas. And about 40% of the population of those cities was Hispanic. There is an incredible Hispanic population in those major cities. And I know that would be true in Las Vegas and Phoenix as well, I would imagine.
It is very true, but I was surprised to find out that that's just pretty much the case all across our country now. Where I live in South Carolina, I believe the Hispanic population is pretty much the same as it is in Las Vegas. So they don't just cross the border. They really do make their way through even northern cities far from the actual borders.
I was surprised to find out that Milwaukee is number 19 on the list of the 100 largest cities in America. The Milwaukee edged out Atlanta. I couldn't believe that. Mm. And, of course, I'm assuming that they're just talking about the actual city limits of Atlanta, because if you throw in all of the connecting cities, I mean, that's got to be right up there when you throw all of that together.
I think they said it's around 3 million when you look at the whole metropolis of Atlanta.
So. Well, Milwaukee has about 500,000 people. And okay. That's what it was in 2005, just over 500,000 people. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of other cities around that, so that, you know, we would be topping out right at about 1 million as well when you add everything up.
I think what is also interesting about New York in relation to the mission, the New York mission to the Jews, is the incredible Jewish population that is in the city. Until recently, there were more Jewish people in New York City than there were in Israel. Now there are more Jews in Israel than there are in New York City, but it still is a major city with a Jewish population. Manhattan itself, where the mission is, 20% of the population of Manhattan is Jewish. And that's an incredible number.
I know we want to do a broadcast all on that by itself. But when you think about New York City, what is it that drew you there? I mean, I know the Lord drew you there, and I know it was the Lord's will. But what is it that drew – what was it that made New York attractive to you?
You know, what's interesting, Sam, is that before we ever went to New York, you and I have a mutual friend, Matt Recker. He called me up on the telephone one day, and I understand he called up a number of other men and said, would you consider coming to New York? He said, I want to start a church in Manhattan. I need someone to help me with the church that I'm going to be leaving in Brooklyn. I think I was on the phone less than 5 minutes with Matt, and I said, Matt, there's no way I'm going to leave Western North Carolina and come to Brooklyn. You know, I've learned you can't say that to the Lord. I should have said, Lord, there's no way I'm going to go to the Bahamas or something like that. But it was really a process of time, Sam, and what really took me to the city, other than the fact that God has always led in my life with unsolicited open doors, it's just like he opens something up to you and he says, this is what I want you to do. I went through a period in my life where I began to appreciate the message of the gift of righteousness in Christ, that whole theology of the righteousness of God, which is the very heart of the gospel. And as God began to work in my heart with that great theme, I just had a desire to preach that gospel to as many lost people as I could. And God providentially opened up the opportunity to go to a city like New York, where you have that opportunity to preach the message of righteousness to the vast numbers of people.
So how do you guys do it in the city?
Well, we have a number of different things we try to do. You know, lost people are not coming into our services like they did years ago. Used to be that you could have meetings in your church and you'd invite your coworkers and your neighbors and they would just flood into the church for the meetings. But lost people are not coming. It doesn't matter where you are in the United States. It's just typical. And so to reach them, we go where they are. You know, the Lord said, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in so my house will be full. And so we get meetings in public parks. You go through the parks department and have an opportunity to set up. We have a beautiful battery-powered sound system that we take into the parks. We take it into the street corners, go into strategic locations, go into places in Manhattan like Battery Park. We got the visitors from all over the world going to the Statue of Liberty. Mm-hmm. 300-400 on a boat at a time. And so we pick these strategic locations and go out in the open air preaching Times Square, parks, those sort of places.
What are you seeing in Las Vegas, Steve?
I think our ministry in Las Vegas is a little bit different than New York City. I had the privilege of actually going and taking a team to New York City. We ministered with Brother Jones. This was 4 years ago. And so I had an opportunity to see New York firsthand. And it's very different in its the way it's set up there. Obviously, when we were there, we had to do a lot of walking and we had to take the subway and a lot of those different things. With Las Vegas, it's very much like Milwaukee in the sense that it's suburbia in many ways. So in suburbia, yet you approach it more door-to-door. You approach it with programs like Phones for You, which is a program we're going to use to be able to get the word out about our church.
Now, Phones for You, what is that?
Phones for You has been around for many years in Christian circles. It's been more recently used by an evangelist named Dave Barba and his wife Claudia, who basically travel around and help church planners get their works off the ground. And just to give it a simple idea, it's basically scattering an area with phone calls. Anywhere from 20 to 30,000 phone calls are made, and you get a mailing list from this. And all you're basically doing is you're asking people if they're interested in the church that you're about to start in their neighborhood. And if they are, you say, well, we'll put you on our mailing list. We'll let you know when the first service is going to be, and you just give them a little bit more information. After 9 weeks of that, you invite them one last time, and they have seen literally 100 to 150 people show up for the very first service.
Interesting. Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because the Lord certainly did direct Paul to go to the cities. Everywhere Paul went in the book of Acts was a city, and a city of no small means in many cases. And it was there that the gospel first took root. It was there that really the gospel spread to all of the other parts of that area. And I'm thankful that the Lord's called you men to the cities. And we're thankful that the Lord is certainly raising up a gospel witness in those places. And we look forward to seeing and hearing what the Lord does for His glory in the next number of years as you reach the city of New York, Bill. And Steve, as you and your family minister for the Lord there in Las Vegas. For those of you hearing the broadcast today, let me encourage you to go to our website, www.thewordforlife.org. You can download today's broadcast entitled Reaching the Cities with the Gospel. Or you can go to any one of our broadcasts and download those and enjoy those at your leisure or send those to a friend. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless.